Ruined dits might be done for another day, but the savings at Chemist Warehouse have only just started. Chemist Warehouse always has the biggest brands at the lowest price.
104.7 Triple M.
What are you confused about, Dits?
Yeah, well, so with our teams being based in Queensland, is that just being talked about or is it a definite?
Have I you think made they'll that? Be going, Dits.
So you think they are okay?
Well, they will be going, yes. I'm pretty much certain of that.
And how will it work?
Well, they have to go there because of the rule that the SA government, SA Health, come up where if our sides stayed here, went to Melbourne to play a game, if we come back, we have to quarantine for 14 days, so it doesn't work.
Well, why don't our teams go to Melbourne, for example?
Well, they could have if they wanted to. I think they just think Gold Coast will be better, to be honest.
Right.
You know, a bit warmer, better place, better facilities to get out and about, you know, like on a resort, if mm-hmm. you want to call it that, which they're talking about the Royal Pines, which you'd be aware of up there. You've probably seen
Golf
that.
Resort?
Yeah, where you can... So, yeah, they'll be based up there. So there'll be the two Adelaide sides, there'll be two Western Australian sides and the two Queensland sides. No one knows yet what the fixture is. I think it's probably come out in the next couple of days. They'll probably play each other once.
That's my next question. So
even though Port have already played the Gold Coast.
So you only play the teams that are in your little hub?
In the first 5 weeks. You know, they might have the showdown as well. So they might get 5 games out there.
Right.
That'd take it through to mid-July. Maybe the border restrictions might be loosened by then.
Okay.
Maybe not. The other reason why they have to go up there, Dits, is because in South Australia, the other rule that they made the other day is no contact training before June the 8th. The season starts on June the 11th, we're led to believe. You can't just do 2 days of competitive work before your first game and be ready to go. So,
whereas in Queensland, they would be allowed to, they'll be able to train that way.
They've got that rule. And in Melbourne, as of May 25th, you can do that. So the guys are going to have to head up to Queensland, you know, by about the 25th, roughly.
Yep.
Don't quote me on that date, but they'll have to go up there a couple of weeks, you know, well, 2 weeks before June the 8th to get up there and get ready. I was speaking to a Western Australian sportsman in the know over there. He thinks with their borders, they're going to be so strict over there, they're not going to allow the Eagles to fly in and fly out at any stage this year. There's every chance West Coast Eagles and Freo will not play a home game in 2020.
But you think we could hear?
Well,
in months to come, yeah.
I just assume we would.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're not going to yet. But, you know, maybe that is a question for SA Health down the track. I'm talking here in, you know, September, October.
So once the Eagles and the Dockers fly to the Gold Coast, they're staying there for the rest of the year.
They're there for the year. So this bloke also said there's a couple of players thinking, well, you know what, I might not even worry about it.
Hell.
Now, that's a big decision.
That is huge.
So you've got that sort of stuff going on. And you know what, they might go to Gold Coast, Dits, and then they might end up moving to Melbourne after the 6 weeks, and then they're based there for a while. Good news for the players is that they're going to allow families to go into the hubs. So let's just say, Robbie Gray's got young kids.
Yep.
Or Rory Sloan
Rory's
and Tex.
New baby.
So, but, you know, that throws in a big question mark. How do you manage what your wife and kids can do during the day?
Mm.
You know, they're allowed to go to, Wet and Wild and then bring a few germs back into the hub. You know, how do you manage that? How do you tell them what to do? How do you tell a 3-year-old kid what to do or not to do? So that's going to be quite a complex issue.
It is.
The whole thing's moving very fast, Dits,
yep.
And it just feels a bit dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's going to be hard to manage the footy season.
Am I right in saying that the border between New South Wales and Queensland is open? So I guess the two Sydney teams might become a part of those games up there as well?
They may, yeah. So Queensland have allowed it. They've done that for NRL, so that's why the Queensland hub's available. And people say, why don't they come to SA or WA where we've got no infections? It's because the borders are closed here and they're not opening them up. They're not changing it to get footy underway. They've got health as more of a priority than footy, which is fair enough, you know, in these times. So...
All right, so just quickly then, that means our two teams are going to play Fremantle, West Coast, maybe Sydney, Gold Coast, Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm not sure about
GWS.
The New South Wales sides, but definitely the two Queensland, two
Brisbane,
WA,
Gold Coast,
and
yep.
play each other
two
in
WA
the first
teams.
5 weeks. I would expect that. No,
yeah.
I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's what would make sense.
Gabba and Metricon.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully that's cleared up a little bit of the information.
No, it has.
Triple M. Ruin Dits for breakfast. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home. Let's talk
about text. Baby, let's talk about text. Sorry to head down this path, but your mate Kane Corns has been at it again. let's play you a little bit of audio from Channel 9 on the weekend.
The club tweeted this video out, and I just thought, who would you rather have him playing centre-half forward for this season? Taylor Walker or Charlie Dixon? Have a look at that. What has Tex been doing?
That's just a bad shot.
These are professional athletes, TJ. Those sort of standards slip through.
It's a bit unfair, Tex.
To be honest, mate, I find it quite sad, and I pity for the bloke that he's just trying to stay relevant this whole time. It's getting a bit of a joke that he continually has a personal pot shot at me. I've let it go, but he continues to try and stay relevant. So if that's what he wants to do, he can do that.
Yeah. It is funny that he does it. He just keeps going. Non-stop. What else is happening in the world of footy, Tex? Are you looking forward to back training soon?
Yeah, looking forward to getting back and training more than twos. But, we'll have a bit of a run around today. I might go down the oval with Bradley Crouch and put him through his paces.
Gee, he's been playing a lot of golf, Brad Crouch. I've seen him out there a fair bit lately.
Oh, I don't know how he's still got his beautiful girlfriend, Britt. It's got me absolutely beat. I mean, he's at least playing five times a week.
He's like a full-time player. He'll be on the tour soon. He's playing that much.
He's into single figures now.
Is he?
Ooh. Yeah, he's down to 8 or 9, I reckon.
Righto.
Tex, how hard is it going to be to get ready to play AFL footy in 3 weeks? Is it easily achievable? Are you concerned that players might not be prepared enough? What's your honest feeling?
Oh, you know what it's like. You know, when you come back, you... the last thing you sort of do is the body contact and the tackling and competitive stuff. So can you get it all done in 3 weeks? Probably not, but it's even in the fact that everyone's got 3 weeks. So
have you been gut-busting training in the last couple of weeks or not? Where are you at?
Bloody
hell. No, seriously?
I'm as fit as I can be in terms of, like, running and weights. I've done as much as I can, but you just don't have the competitive side. So, we're just going to have to wait and see how 3 weeks will play out.
So you're as fit as you can be?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I wonder if Kane's listening to that.
Don't worry about him, Ditch.
All right. Mate. No, I'm just trying to help you. Just
Let's make a rule on this bloody good show on Triple M. We don't mention his name.
Well, we only do it for a laugh because he's, you know, some of the
trying
stuff
to stay relevant.
All right. You got a gag for us?
Yeah, as everyone does, you fill up your car. And yesterday I was filling up my car with fuel. You know, I accidentally got some petrol on my arm, and on the way home I cheekily lit up a bit of a smoke and my arm caught on fire, so I put it out the window and started waving it around. Next in my head, woo, Highway Patrol pulled me over and wanted to find me. I said, "What are you going to find me for?" He said, "Hey, mate, you're in possession of dangerous firearms."
Nah, that's your worst.
At least I got a giggle from you.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, Texan.
All right, good on you, Tex. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk next week. The one and only Tex Walker here on Triple M. Right now, our audio man extraordinaire, Sam Morrison's come walking. This is the fellow that puts together the week that was, which is just unbelievable. Mm. Well done again this week, Sam.
Oh, thank you.
But you've got something else for us today.
Often I go out to Alice and Matt, our boss, and ask for suggestions for what I should include in the top five. You know, it's the weekly wrap.
So they help.
Yeah.
So Alice,
you know, Alice, what do you think? What was funny? You know, we have a bit of a back and forth. What was good this week?
Mm-hmm.
And I just noticed she kept mentioning the other day when I was on the Angels, I said this really funny joke.
So she puts forward a lot of her own sort of goal.
She, you know, likes to put forward her own quality gear.
In the background, would this be called blowing her own trumpet? Would that be?
Which is fair enough. So anyway, I thought I'm going to go up and I'm going to ask her what I should put in the segment, record her and just see if she...
Oh no, you've recorded her!
Which is illegal, but you know... Yeah.
quite fine here on Triple M.
Yeah, we're all about content here. She understands. Mm, yeah. This is the sacrifices we need to make for the show.
So what should be in the highlights of the week?
Yeah, so I go ask her, press record, and just to start... This was just after we had
a... Did you put a bit of bait on the hook or not?
A tiny little bit, not much. Just at this starts, we just had an interview with Nicola Sperry yesterday, and apparently it was blowing up on Twitter, so that's how this starts anyway.
Put it on Twitter, Tom Brown said that it was the most best interview or something because I'm f***ing top 10. Tom Brown said a massive interview by Adelaide or something. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm f***ing a good producer. Okay.
Not a, but you're funny as well.
Yeah, I know that. I should be on air.
Alright, I don't have many other options, so I think I'll use your fossil joke in the top five.
You'd be silly not to, honestly. It's the biggest laugh they've had.
Didn't sound like he was too keen to... The coughing?
Well, coughing was funny.
What was the coughing?
No, my fossil joke was funnier than the coughing.
Can't use both.
Me.
I tend not to use Alice in these kind of things.
Yeah, which is why they're not very good lately.
Oh, sassy.
That's the sass.
Right. I've handed him gold and he's just choosing not to put it in.
So is this kind of a executive producer directive to
put... More Alice. When in doubt, more Alice in your show.
Oh, my God.
How do you defend the indefensible? I mean, how?
I actually don't even know what to say. I'm so embarrassed.
You should be too.
You missed. People would have missed the little bit at the start where she says, I am a top 10 producer. This came about a couple of years ago, didn't it, Ruth? She said, I'm in the top 10 in Australia.
Well, she actually came in to say, would you guys write, some words for me because I'm actually... entering myself in the top 10 producer awards at the National Awards night. Can you just write about why I am in the top 10? Not ask, am I worthy?
Our little pet name for Alice, you know, off air is top 10, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, she's a top 10 producer. Yeah. Get the good guess. Yeah.
Well, I am. I did make it.
You didn't make the top 10, did you?
I did. I was number 9.
Number 9?
I thought you were 10.
There was no other South Australian producers in it, just letting you know.
That's because they're all modest, probably.
They don't nominate themselves.
You got the top 10 self-nominated top 10 producers.
I did enjoy that. Well done,
well
Sam.
Well done, Alice.
No, thank you. Let's go to an ad break. Get out of here.
Good work.
Roo and Ditz here on Triple M on this Thursday morning. Roo, up until yesterday, I presumed, rightly or wrongly, that the Crows and Port Adelaide would fly interstate and play AFL as of around June 11.
Yep.
But that all seems to have changed.
Yeah, absolutely. They can't fly interstate, play games, and then fly back without having to quarantine for 14 days. So basically, that means they're going to have to play or go and live interstate in hubs.
Yep.
Which is a big change of plans and a bit of a sideswipe, I think. Both clubs and I think the AFL thought that they'd get the approval, but that was not the case.
All right. The person in charge of SA Health here in our state, Professor Nicola Sperrier, joins us. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
Was this a change in your policy yesterday? Some people are asking the question, has this come about as a result of what happened with the Crows in the Barossa?
No, it's got nothing to do with that. That's absolutely a separate thing. We've got a set of directions in South Australia to do with the pandemic, and we have a way of managing it. And one of the things that is very obvious to South Australians is that we're doing very well in terms of our rates of disease here. Yep. And one of the reasons for this is early on we decided to put soft controls at our borders. Now, they're not hard controls like some of the other states, but they're soft controls. And the way we do it is to require that quarantine when people come back into the state. Now, of course, these are all difficult questions, because we are asked on a daily basis from a whole range of different people for exemption from that quarantine.
Yep.
And that includes people like doctors, nurses, people that would come from South Australia, you know, live in South Australia, go into state, do some work and come back.
Yep.
So, we look at all of those exemptions or requests for exemptions, and then we have a process of going through that, and we did exactly the same with the AFL proposal.
It was just a common thought out there that was going to change and the Adelaide side's about to fly in and fly back. So, Professor, is it just too much risk that there's a chance of you know, certainly in Melbourne where we're getting the most infections, that a player might catch something while in Melbourne and then bring it back. Is that the big risk?
Yeah, absolutely. We really agonised over this. It's not something that we do lightly because I absolutely understand how people really enjoy football. And, you know, I was actually thinking back to the Premiership, I think, when the Crows were back-to-back back in the
1900s, it feels like that. Yeah, but it was 97, 98, don't worry.
Yeah, I was trying to think of which years it was.
It's been a long time between drinks.
yeah, exactly. And I personally had really enjoyed watching those matches too, but at the end of the day, my job is to protect the health of South Australians. So we looked at it and we thought, if they're coming back, how are they going to do the quarantine? And it's obviously, you know, I understand it's not just the players. You've got the coaches, you've got the physios, the doctors. It's a big team effort. You know, it's not just it's not a small undertaking. No. And so, as I said, we agonised. I had my deputies there. We looked at it every which way, and I'm really sorry to be disappointing the fans, and I'm also very empathetic to the families because it's a big thing to have to, you know, go interstate and work for a period of time.
It will. The Age is reporting that in the minutes of the Australian Health Protection Principal meeting that there was a comment the AFL showed with the Barossa, adding that they don't understand quarantine. What would your comments be to that?
Well, I'm not sure who or how the minutes of the AHPPC came to be out in the media, because that is a very important committee which reports to National Cabinet.
Would it be accurate?
Just repeat it to me.
The AFL showed with the Barossa, adding that they don't understand quarantine.
Well, I think what was quite obvious with the issue at the Novotel was that we have a certain stipulations for quarantine. So if you're in quarantine, you're at a residence and you're not leaving that property. Mm. When we found out from the health department that this group had changed their location of quarantine, then we needed to make sure that when they're at the Novotel, they would have the same expectations as anybody else in the state who are under quarantine. Mm.
Professor, just changing tack slightly, and please don't take this question as any criticism at all, but it's just something we need clarified, I reckon, is trains. Now, the front page of the Advertiser today has a packed train, and we're hearing we've had a caller this morning who catches the train on the Gawler line saying it's unhealthy, we're packed in there like sardines. Mm. It's an inconsistency, isn't it? I mean, I don't know whether that comes under your jurisdiction, but who should be monitoring, you know, social
whoever's
distancing
running the
trains, or because you can understand there'll be a Crows person listening this morning, a fan saying, hang on, two footballers can't kick a footy together, but we've got, on the other hand, a packed train.
I mean, there's a lot of inconsistencies, and this is one of the issues when you put things into lockdown. And I know that the cafes and restaurants are saying, hang on a minute, you know, we can see people in supermarkets. Why is it that we can't have people for seated dining? So I absolutely agree there are inconsistencies. I think the for us, the border controls are really important as a state, because we have not had really any significant cases for a long period of time. The packed trains is a big issue. We have been looking at that at AHPPC as a real priority, to look at what we could do, or as a, you know, as a sector, what that sector could do. Now, there are many other sectors in South Australia, and I've had really good feedback from PIRSA, for example, about how they're dealing with a variety of primary industries in terms of all of that social distancing and increased hygiene and infection control. So every sector's looking at it. And I also know that in South Australia, the transport department is looking at this very seriously. So it's definitely on the radar. One of the things that can be done, of course, is having more frequent trains or services. And I think that's certainly being looked at in South Australia. But I think there has been a problem with the train service. So, we've definitely got our eyes on that one.
Professor Spurrier, can I say, I think you've been absolutely outstanding, and I mean that. And, you know, I reckon we're proud as South Australians. When we talk to, I've been talking to people overseas and interstate, that our record here is just exactly what it really is. It's incredible. So,
well,
Professor Spurrier, well
done. I honestly can't believe it myself when I was thinking how things were going. You know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. So it's an absolute credit to South Australians.
Well, you've been in charge, and as I said, I really, really mean this sincerely. You've done an incredible job, and gee, I hope you get a good long holiday at some stage. You'll need a break, I think, but well done.
Yeah, it will be nice.
Good on you. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers.
Thank you, Professor Nicola Spurrier.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five, after Mother's Day, we learnt Limo doesn't like breakfast in bed.
Is breakfast in bed a massively overrated treat?
I agree with you.
It's awkward. You're sitting up in bed, you're leaning back on pillows, you're not in a good eating position, spilling food into the bed.
Crumbs.
It's like sex on the beach. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
But no.
I am with a crumb sausage.
Not the first time Ruth delivered that line.
Crumb sausage is okay, but nobody likes sandy clams. Number four. Ruined Dits angels were on.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
And we learnt what Mel the Button Pusher wanted to be when she grew up.
I must have seen Indiana Jones or something, and I wanted to be an archaeologist. I wanted to go...
Archaeologist?
I wanted to go dig up dinosaurs, but I didn't actually realise... Practically speaking, that it just meant you sifted dirt for years.
Yeah. Let's be honest, though, you get to work with Dits every day, and that's working with a fossil.
That joke was dynamite. Number three. Sometimes Dits likes to have a virtual argument with his wife, Kate, on the show.
I come back with, if I thought that was a better place, I would have bloody put it there, wouldn't I?
Last week was, where did you put my stuff?
By having my stuff sitting on the bench, Rudy, it's not hurting anything. It's not hurting anyone. Just leave it there. Leave it right where I put it.
Let's spin the wheel of Dits' arguments with Kate and see where it lands. It's... when to wash the sheets.
I get a lecture about this everywhere.
What does she lecture you about?
I never change the sheets. Because I often say to her, I'll do it. And then she'll say, when were you going to do it?
No, you don't.
Yeah, but I'm not... She'll jump in and do it every weekend, right? And she'll say, there, I've done it again. I say, yeah, but Kate, leave it for another week. I would have done it. I was happy the way they were.
All right, Dits, I think that covers it.
But washing bed sheets. Look, when are you going to do the sheets? I always do them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
listen to her, Dits.
No, I don't.
You sure told her, Dits.
Good morning, Kate.
I didn't mean what I just said, Kate. I didn't. I promise.
Number two. Praddy from the Grumpy Old Men was on, and we learnt about a new wine.
The Arkabar drive-through, and they've got special wines like Pinot Noir, Pinot Grigio, and the Wine of the Month. And this one reduces the number of trips people Reedy's age go to the toilet at night. It's called Pinot More.
Pinot More. I heard that before I go to bed.
Speaking of taking the... 10-year-old Alice had a great joke.
You're Australian when you go into the toilet?
Yeah.
You're Australian when you come out?
Yeah.
What are you while you're in?
No, don't know.
European?
Number one, the Crows were in a bit of hot water after their training breach in the Barossa.
The AFL are investigating a possible breach of the training protocols.
And Jars reckons it's the Crows' board.
There's been some lack of leadership off-field, and you can go from top to members of the board.
We learned from Roo why the Crows' board stinks.
You said, what's the weird place you farted? And I said, well, we actually farted in the middle of a board meeting one day, which I did not mean to happen, but my bum is it, what do you call it, involuntary? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Is
loose.
It? Loose, yeah, a bit loose. Yeah, I was just sitting in there and went, and Chabby goes, pardon me.
The chairman.
I was actually sitting there and he said, excuse me, Ruth. I said, sorry, I put my hands up. Sorry, I actually did not mean to do that. It just slipped out.
Whoever's taking the minutes of this meeting, please just put out Roo fart.
Lockie called up and had an embarrassing fart moment too.
When my wife was in labour with the first son.
No!
Because I was holding her hand, you know, trying to be supportive. She had a really bad contraction, squeezed my hand. It scared me that much that I farted.
Yeah.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
We love farting here at Triple M.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Let's get the number one man in the state on, or is he the number one man in the state? This is the big question.
Well,
people
he's number
are
talking.
One man. That's right. Person. All right. The Premier, Stephen Marshall. Good morning.
Good morning, Dits. Good morning, Roo.
Gee, what's all this commentary about that you're not running the state? What's your response to that?
Well, you know, we've made a really good decision early on that we would be listening to the expert health advice. And I tell you what, it's put us in a good position so far. We've seen what's happened around the rest of the world. No countries mentioned. But when politicians start making health advice, people start to lose their lives. We've seen that with what's happened in other countries. We didn't want that here. So we all decided that we would do our part in tackling the coronavirus. We've stuck to what we need to do in the government. The police commissioner has done his excellent part. And, of course, Nicola Spurrier and her team in public health and health administration have given us fantastic expert advice that we can implement. So, yeah, it's been a real working together in the leadership team to make sure that we can get through this as best we can.
Well, I don't want to sound like a pathetic little lapdog, but I think that is great leadership. No, it is. But yeah. You've actually appointed the, or delegated to the people that are experts, and to me that means leadership. I think it's great.
Yep, it's worked very well, and you probably don't want doctors telling you how to run the economy either when we bounce back out, Steve. So will you take over and do that at some stage, or when does Nicola Spurrier's power reduce? At what point is that when it's not declared a state of emergency anymore? Or
no, look, we've established a transition committee. I mean, it's much easier to put restrictions in place than to lift them, Roo. And what we're doing at the moment is going through the very difficult task of making sure that we can lift those restrictions and get people back to work, but at the same time not have a relapse. In fact, we've looked at the countries and the cities around the world who have been coming out of this and probably more have stuffed it up than have got it right.
Yeah, I agree.
Most of them actually lift them just a bit too quickly, have a massive relapse, and then have to put those restrictions back in place. And we don't want that. Small business is telling us that would literally be a disaster. I genuinely think the fact that we run a few weeks, maybe a month behind the Northern Hemisphere, gives us that perfect opportunity to look at who's doing this best and model that. And we've been really getting a lot of information from a lot of different places. And I think the way we're doing it, incrementally lifting those restrictions, we'll be there in a few weeks' time. We'll get this right and we'll get people back to work. And the important thing is we won't then be putting restrictions back in place, which I think would be devastating for business, but also devastating for morale in our state.
Yeah, it would be massive mentally to have to lock down a second time. I think you're doing a great job, or everyone's doing a great job. Is it fair to say you disagreed over the footy decision the other day, though? Are you happy to say that or not?
Oh, not disagree, but I thought it was definitely worth looking at the fly-in, fly-out model. I mean, a lot of the players and the Players Association were telling us about the huge imposition it was for them to relocate their entire families for the rest of the season. And so we thought it was definitely worth having a look. But the AFL wanted to start the season ASAP. We've seen what's happened in other states with regards to community transmission and increased numbers. And a decision was made, and I back it 100%.
Good. Unemployment news out yesterday. I mean, we're the worst in the nation. 7.2, 6.2 is the average in Australia. Queensland's second worst was 6.8. It's not a bad number, probably opposed to what it's going to be in a month or two. It's going to get pretty ugly, isn't it, with when all the data comes in. It could be double figures, do you think, Steve?
Look, 7.2 is a lot lower than what a lot of people thought it was going to be, but it sort of hides, I think, one of the real problems, and that is that there's massive underemployment. Yep. So people might still have a job, but they might not have many hours. And this is our real focus in the government, is trying to get as many hours worked as possible. The ABS statistics are a survey over 2 weeks in the middle of April. So, you know, we're 4 weeks on from that now. I think as we ease the restrictions, I'm hoping that we create more of those hours. But look, Roo, you're 100% right. It's going to be a rocky period here in South Australia. It's going to be a rocky period everywhere in the world. I mean, this is a global pandemic.
Yep.
What I do know, though, is if we can sensibly and sustainably get our economy back up and running because we've got good health outcomes, then that means more people are going to get more hours. And yes, it's going to be tough for the next couple of months.
Yeah, those underemployment numbers, 11.2 up to 17%, so a big jump.
That's the frightening one. Mm. That's the really frightening one, because people have got a job, but they are just not getting the hours that they want. So that's why we're really focused on doing everything we can to support the economy at the moment.
Premier, I just find the inconsistencies around the country a little bit frustrating. So pubs are going to open in New South Wales, which may not be the right thing, but they are going to. They're opening in the Northern Territory. We're not opening them here. Do you think, you know, if we were to do this again, should all states, or would all states try and be on the same page and, you know, do things as a country rather than every city's different?
That's a very good question. I don't know what the answer to that is. All I know is that we're running our own race here in South Australia. I mean, look, you know, yesterday we only had 3% of students studying from home. In Victoria, they only had 3% of students studying at school.
Yeah. It's a massive difference.
Every state's sort of doing something better than the other ones. I know New South Wales have jumped out ahead and said, look, we want to open pubs and clubs and restaurants from Friday, but it's for 10 people. When I sat down with the publicans, they said, look, you know, 10's not viable. They're telling me 20's not viable.
Yeah.
So,
be viable, you know, for some smaller pubs, but not for the big ones.
Exactly. But then all of a sudden you have a situation where you're saying, well, look, I've got a much bigger pub. I've got a much bigger area. Why can't I have more? So there's a lot of stress. As I said, it's a lot easier to put the restrictions in than take them off fairly. But I've got to say, Nicholas Spurrier, Grant Stevens, the Transition Committee are doing a great job. I think, look, we're all in this together. It is going to be a tough month or so as we lift those restrictions. But July is when we arrive back at that COVID-safe environment. Every single state and territory leader have signed up to that. Yes, they're going to move in slightly different ways, but we're all committed to getting back there. And quite frankly, I think South Australia will be back there first.
Yeah. Good on you. Thanks so much. The man who is running the state, the Premier, Stephen Marshall.
Thanks, guys.
Have good on, Steve. Thanks, mate. Well done.
I don't even know how to introduce this.
We lost the premiership because of a fart.
What do you mean?
1993, prelim final. We were 6 goals up at half time and we come
Essendon?
Out. Yes. We come out and we did our warm up and, you know, you're going to get into the grand final here. This is unbelievable. Third year into the competition. Graham Corns could have been a premiership coach. And we come in and we put our arms around each other. Cornsy comes in to give us, you know, the last chat before we go out in the premiership quarter. And Mark Bickley, the brown nose, never do a thing wrong captain, farted. And everyone just started looking around and couldn't concentrate.
No.
The group dispersed and Cornsy hadn't even finished his message. Jars missed a goal from the top of the goal square as a result, and we lost the premiership. Mark Bickley, because of a fart. True story. Goldview Heights, g'day, Darryl. Where's the worst place you've farted?
Yeah, here you go. And worst place, well, it wasn't me, it was my mother at engagement party. Yep, at the engagement party. It was that bad, it cleared the room. No. I just looked at her face, I felt sorry for her, and took the blame.
Took the blame?
That is beautiful, Darryl.
You're a good lad, Darryl.
Well, mums don't fart, do they?
No. Darryl, well done. What a trooper to do
that. That is an Australian thing to do. Yeah,
God, she would have been so embarrassed.
Oh, Jesus, mum. Wow. Well, let's go to Modbury North. G'day, Nigel.
Good morning. When I was about 6, all the schools being walked into the main hallway for like church like in the mornings.
Well, you can't fart in church, Nigel.
Well, for assembly. And it all went quiet because the headmaster was about to start the prayers and I let one rip in the middle of the hall sitting on wooden floors.
Oh, they echo beautifully there.
And all my mates around me looked at me and, of course, I got the finger pointed at me. So I got picked up assembly. So I set a good example early on.
Nigel, you sound too posh to fart. You sound very refined.
It's my dodgy Pommy accent, but thank you.
Right, more farters in just a moment.
1-333-53. Dits can't believe we're doing this farter for the third time, but I can. I love it. Let's, where have you farted? Let's go to Old Norlunga. G'day, Jamie.
How are you going, guys?
Where have you popped off?
I used to work at Woolies as a kid and dropped one in an aisle.
Nice.
And did a quick runner up the aisle and looked back and two people looked at each other confused. Look, I'm left back.
You got away with it, JB.
No, I still did. I had a good laugh about it.
Oh, I think that's why we love
Sneaky.
It. Oh, it's good fun. Let's go to Strathalbyn. G'day, Lockie.
G'day, Ruined It. How are you, boys?
Good, buddy. You done it, mate?
I reckon it's probably the worst place to do it, other than your wedding, when my wife was in labour with the first son.
No! Oh, no. What did she say? She would have swore.
She didn't say much because she was in a lot of pain. So, luckily, because I was holding her hand, you know, trying to be supportive, being a first-time dad, I think I was 21, so not really knowing what's going on. She had a really bad contraction, squeezed my hand. It scared me that much that I farted.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Well,
it's not your fault then, Lockie, really.
No. Good on you, Lockie. All right. Let's go to the Barossa Valley. G'day, Tommy.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Good, Tommy.
I was back in line and I was getting my confirmation and I was at the top of the altar and the bishop and the priest come around to give you the blessing. And I was remembering my mate next to me and I just let one rip as he was giving me the blessing.
A loud one or just silent deadly?
It was a loud one. My old man nearly killed me. I think he heard it at the back of the church.
Oh, no. Yeah, don't know if you can do that in church, Tommy. But anyway, you've done it. Let's go to Tea Tree Gully. G'day, Danny.
How you going, mate?
Good, Danny. Where have you farted?
In the middle of court while standing up talking to the judge.
No, how disrespectful.
Oh, no.
I know, let it rip.
Oh, no.
What do you mean you let it rip? What were you up there for, by the way?
It just come out, you know. Like,
you would have been a bit nervous, surely.
Exactly right. But no, it's out of nowhere. Just had to fart.
What were you up there for, just coincidentally?
Driving offences.
What, speeding or?
Yeah, speeding.
Loud exhaust.
All right, Danny, well done. Let's give a Triple M prize pack to...
Oh, farting in court's pretty good.
Oh, Daryl looked after his mum.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yeah, all right.
I think you have to give it to Daryl.
Yeah.
All right, well done, Daryl. Congratulations. Took the heat when his mum farted. Yep. We've been talking about Michael Jordan and The Last Dance a little bit. The whole world has been with this new documentary that's come out on Netflix. And I've only watched about three episodes so far, but I'm really enjoying it. I've actually been getting the kids to watch it as well. I think there's lots of good messages in there about not basketball, but sport, or more so for life.
Yeah, that's the thing I've taken out of it. It's not really, it's just all of the backroom stuff that's really intriguing, isn't it?
Sure is. You know, one of the interesting things for me has been how the coach, Phil Jackson, got individuals that are superstars and put them into one side and made them work and had different rules for different individuals.
Yep.
Because I've played under coaches in footy clubs where, you know, everyone needs to be treated the same, and no matter if you're the superstar or you're the last bloke picked, you have coaches with that philosophy. Then you also have coaches who go, listen, most of us do the rules like this, and then Mr. X over there, he can do things differently because he's a little bit different.
Hmm.
And we need to accept that. And, you know, he's not going to train as much as you are, but, you know, he's an important part of the team on the weekend.
Well, interestingly, if we bring it back to home, you had someone like Ben Hart, who's a real dedicated defender, say, or I'll just pluck his name out. And then the other end of the ground, you got Tony Modra, who is just flamboyant and brilliant and does incredible things. You're not going to treat them the same, are you?
No, but some people do. A lot of coaches will. And as a result of that, a lot of coaches lose those superstars of the game because they just can't toe the line.
Yeah.
They're just different beasts.
Well, this is a great documentary. You know, the NBL is called The Big Dance. Here's the coach, Phil Jackson, one of the most successful coaches in history, saying why he called this doco The Last Dance.
In typical Phil fashion, you know, he had a name for it.
We'd arrive at the practice facility. It's our first official meeting as a team. Get the team handbook, laminate on the front page, Last Dance.
And talk to the players about particularly how important it was for us to really be together in this last run that we were going to have. So I called it The Last Dance.
See, he'd won five titles there with the Bulls, and yet he was told at the start of the season, you won't be here at the end of this season.
No, it's your last chance. So they're going to go into the rebuild. So
Here's Michael Jordan talking about breaking up this great team.
Michael, obviously, in the wake of this incredible celebration, there'll be some very difficult business decisions.
We're entitled to defend what we have until we lose it. If we lose it, then you look at it and you say, okay, let's change. Let's just go through a rebuilding. No one's guaranteeing rebuilding is going to be 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years. Cubs have been rebuilding for 42 years. If you want to look at this from a business thing, have a sense of respect for the people who have laid the groundwork so that you could be a profitable organization.
From the minute he speaks, you know, he's a smart man. Oh, he talks much different to a standard sports person.
Yep.
Sounds like he's a great businessman and a great sportsman.
Yeah. He gets injured at one time. Of course, Jordan is just vital to the success of the Bulls, and he wants to come back and play, and he's at loggerheads with the medical staff.
Michael asked him, well, if I play, what percentage is there that I'm going to get hurt again? Doctor said, yeah, 10%.
And I just lost it. I said, look, it's 10% chance, but it's 90% chance that I won't.
And then I chimed in to the doctors, what happens if the 10% kicks in? And they said, well, then his career would be over.
Well, everybody's just thinking about the negative. Well, I think the glass is half full. Everybody thinks it's half empty.
So I said to Michael, you're not understanding the risk-reward ratio. If you had a terrible headache and I gave you a bottle of pills, and 9 of the pills would cure you, and 1 of the pills would kill you. Would you take a pill?
And I look at him, I said, depends on how bad the headache is.
It's not bad, though. If 1 pill would kill you out of the 10. Now, Roo, you must have been through those conversations.
Well, yeah.
After, say, an ankle operation, 10% chance that this will end your career. Do you
play? Two very smart blokes. One in the boss, and he's all about managing risk. The other one just wants to play.
Yeah.
And that's always a battle between a player and a doctor and a player and a coach. And that's just a classic example of what happens in the world of sport.
Yeah. Now, they signed Dennis Rodman, right? One of the craziest people in world sport. And he's all over the shop. At one stage, he goes to Vegas, doesn't he? Just takes off.
Yep. He's one of the blokes we were just talking about. Needs to be treated differently, different background, different makeup altogether, really. And Jackson let him go. And Jordan was not happy about it for many reasons.
Mid-season, he says, all right, go to Vegas for a couple of days and just go for it. Go
let off steam, have a bender, do what you need to do, and then get back here and play again. Yeah.
And he didn't come back. He's overstayed his welcome. Anyway, this is the moment when Phil Jackson actually meets Rodman when they've signed him. And Phil Jackson, as big as these players are and as big as stars as they are, he still wants respect.
I walk into Jerry Krause's house. He's sitting on a couch. He's got a pool boy hat over his eyes. He's got the rings in his nose and his mouth, and he doesn't stand up to meet me. So I said, stand up, Dennis. Take your hat off, shake hands. Let's go outside and talk.
We had to break bread then at the house. So basically said, Dennis, you want to come play for the Bulls? I said, I don't care. Whatever. What's up?
He's a different cat. But he's a fierce, competitive beast underneath. He might have that cool exterior, but he loved nothing more than playing. And when he played, he played hard, and he played for the side. So Phil got the best out of him, and that's why they won so many titles.
Look, it's a great series. It is about 5 superstars, how you get them all to work together. But it's also about the general manager, the coach, the medical. It's about everybody, and it's a fascinating series.
The whole organisation.
Yeah. I just wonder what else people are watching at the moment. We did this about a month ago, and we got some great recommendations, because in isolation, we are watching tons of television. Are you watching anything on Netflix at the moment?
Well, just when I get a chance, I've watched The Last Dance, and I've been watching the bit of the second series of Afterlife. I'm a bit late to the party, I know. That's been come and gone, but I love that. They shed a couple of tears. Yeah, it's a bloody sad little show, that, isn't it?
Oh, it's a clever show, because it makes you laugh and then it makes you cry.
Mm.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais. What are you watching out there? 133353. So last time we did this, one of our callers said, watch Ozark. So I've been watching that. I've been glued to that. It's very good.
What's that about?
Place called Ozark. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, anyway, it's very long-winded to tell you what it's about, but it's a brilliant show.
I'll watch
it. What are you watching? 133353. We need your recommendations. Help us out here on Triple M.
Roo and Dits might be done for another day, but the savings at Chemist Warehouse have only just started. Chemist Warehouse always has the biggest brands at the lowest price.
104.7 Triple M.